Hearty welcome to all of you to this evening that is being blessed by the holy and divine association of His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj. And I take my extreme pleasure to introduce Maharaj. Many of you know him. He is a very, very dear disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I was in Germany in 2000 when I went to join as a German National Research Center as a scientist. And there in 2000 December, I went to a bonfire where I stayed there for more than 15 days and I was waiting for Maharaj's arrival. I reached around, I think, 10th of December or so, and Maharaj, I came to know that he would come towards end of the month, December. And I was looking at the library there, and I saw Maharaj's book on holiness. And this is the first book I read. And then there was a book on German Yatra, where I got a glimpse of Maharaj's wonderful journey to Krishna consciousness, where he was so austere. And the temple in German that time had a very austere situation. And because of that, I remember reading that Maharaj's body became completely green because of austerity. And at that time, I remember also that Srila Prabhupada was coming to London, and all European devotees, German devotees, wanted to see Prabhupada. And one or two devotees, they wanted to go, and they didn't have money. And Maharaj, whatever he had, saving he had, he gave, such that nobody should miss the divine association of Srila Prabhupada. And then when Maharaj came, what really melted my heart is his, you know, extraordinary, exciting kirtan. When he does kirtan, you can feel the divine presence of Krishna in the form of Huliman, and so much of enthusiasm, so much of excitement, so much of energy we feel when we lead the kirtan. And that is when I was really attracted to the lotus feet of Maharaj very much. And since then, you know, I dream many times Maharaj in my dream as well. And so Maharaj, thank you so much. All the kindness you have showered on me. One of the things that Maharaj does for our benefit is regularly in Braj is in Govardhan retreat and Barsana Holinand retreat. And these are very, very endearing to those who want to increase their sadhana, sanctify their spiritual life. Maharaj does that dedication, and Maharaj every Kartik month resides in Holidham, of course in hiding, such that he can focus on the holy name. He chants 64 rounds every day, and Maharaj is you know, although he may be having a German body, I personally feel he is real Pasi. He has that mood of the devotees who reside in Krishna's holy dham. He has imbibed that mood, and one of the things Maharaj does is that he writes politically about the glorification of holy dham, and today's topic is about that. So the amazing power of the holy name. So without taking any further time, we would like to hear Maharaj. And I want to express my heartfelt gratitude that he agreed, and we are all divinely blessed because of Maharaj, because of you. We have highest participation today, almost more than 200, and we are all eagerly waiting to hear from you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. I want to affectionately greet everyone, and before I start to go into my subject, I also need to say that I have throughout the years where I know your professor, who is known to me as Lila Purushottam, that's his initiated name. Since these years where I know him, I have been very, let us say, grateful. I have always seen that he, although he is a well-accomplished scientist, he also has his roots deeply in the spiritual tradition and the spiritual, I could say, practices that bring one to make spiritual experiences. We always have very good discussions with each other, and he has invited me repeatedly to come to address the students of the Kanpur University, which are under his care, and it was my great desire to do so, and therefore I'm now very excited that I finally have the opportunity. It is really a dream come true for me. And I just wanted to say this before I start, but I now request all of you to pay very close attention. It might be that this online seminar, which you will hear, will change a perspective in your life and give you something that is so valuable that it will really improve your life in all areas you can imagine. When the sun comes into a room, all the darkness goes. So when we can somehow contact God in whatever form he comes to us, all the miseries of material existence run away. They cannot stand. But we become awakened in our heart and yes, fully spiritualized. So please pay close attention. I will talk for about 45 to 50 minutes, and afterwards I will be able to take your questions and respond to your questions maybe for half an hour or so. So let us have this, let this be a very interactive and class where we are really fully present in what we are doing, because I have something very important to share with you. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskachyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. The subject matter of today is the amazing power of the holy name. As far as the Vedic scriptures are concerned, there are various divisions of time, and we are living in the last age of all these four general divisions, these four ages, the Kali Yuga. There's a verse in the Brihat Naradiya Purana which describes which of the many, many, many processes for God realization works best in the Kali Yuga. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kaloa Nasteva 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 Gatir Anyata. This Purana is very clear and it is often quoted. It says that in this age of Kali, the process of Karma Kanda does not work so well. The process of jnana, meditative absorption in the absolute truth, does also not work. And not even yoga, which ends at entering samadhi, where one sees the Paramatma in the heart, works. No, what works is the holy name, Harinama, to bring one to the supreme goal of life. Now it's very interesting that this scriptural statement, which was pronounced in times long gone, has found an enthusiastic reception in modern science. There is one magazine, it's called Psychology Today, which brings out the newest discoveries of this science, and there it said that it is found out that only 10 minutes of singing the holy names in kirtan is more effective to calm the mind and release all the stress than 2 hours of concentrated meditation are. 10 minutes of singing the holy name more efficient than 2 hours of meditation. What to speak of other methods to de-stress ourselves and to come in contact with our inner potential. This is, I was very much interested. And another scientific field called neuroscience, I think you know, says that almost all the activities which we do engage either the left side of the brain or the right side of the brain, or the brain stem, or the prefrontal cortex. But chanting engages the entire brain, every part of the brain, and therefore brings a very, very wonderful effect, which happens when everything fires together and wires together in the human brain. I wanted to quote these two fields of science, psychology and neuroscience, in order to show you that what the ancient scriptures have said about chanting can also be measured and experienced in modern times through the scientific process. So after saying this, I want to take you a little bit deeper into what the scriptures say, in particularly about what mantra should be chanted. In the ancient Kali Shantara Upanishad, which is accepted as an authority that is uncontested, we hear a story. Narada Muni approaches the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, with a serious question that has been troubling his mind. He says, "O great soul, please tell me, how can living beings that are born in the troublesome Kali Yuga become free from its bad influence?" Kali Yuga is described to take away the spiritual awakeness from the human being. People are just not so spiritually aware in this age. They are overcome with laziness when it comes to spiritual practice, and their mind is very difficult to control. It tends to be distracted, and their life is usually unfortunate. There are so Narada Muni wants to know, how can people born in this time derive the greatest benefit? And Brahma's answer is definite and immediate. He says, by chanting the names of the original person, the Adi Purusha, the first person, the person who's beyond time, you can become extremely fortunate in this age of Kali. Then Narada Muni says, who is that original personality and what are his names, please? And then Brahma says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. The entire mantra is there in this Kali Shantara Upanishad. And he continues, Iti Shodashakam Namnam Kali Kalmashanashanam Nato Parataropaya Sava Vedeshu Drishyate. Chant the holy names of the Lord. Brahma says, particularly these names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he repeats the entire Hare Krishna mantra. This collection of 16 names is the only destroyer of the sins of Kali Yuga. No other remedy can be found in any Vedic literature. In this way, Brahma concluded, the illusory covering of the soul is removed and Krishna, the original person, becomes revealed in the heart. He manifests there. I thought I would give you a quotation from an Upanishad, because Upanishads are usually seen as the oldest recorded scriptures next to the four original Vedas. I wanted to show you that these oldest wisdom texts of mankind mention the chanting of the holy name, and they attribute two particular effects to the chanting. The chanting of the holy name removes all the layers of maya, of illusion, which are avidya, ignorance, asmita, the false identification of the soul who does not know any longer who he is, and it removes attachments and aversion, and finally, yes, the great, great absorption in material life. By chanting the holy name, all this is removed, all this is taken away from us, and as a result, Krishna becomes manifested in the heart. The scriptures give us a very fascinating analogy. The analogy is that the chanting clears away all ignorance and all illusion from the soul. And it describes a mirror. Imagine a mirror. When the mirror is covered with dust, it loses its ability to reflect and to show images. But once you remove the dust from the mirror, The inherent quality of the marrow is again re-established. Again, when you look into the marrow, which is polished, you can see the reflected images. So in the same way, as a mirror has the ability to reflect, we in our pure consciousness have the ability to reflect the self and God. Yes, in the pure consciousness you can see who you are and who is God. But when the consciousness is covered by avidya, by ignorance and false ego and material attachments, etc., the consciousness loses its ability to show you who you really are and to show you also the Supreme Lord. It's no longer possible. So the chanting of the holy name removes this inability, just like the polishing of a mirror removes the dullness of the mirror and reinstalls its natural abilities. That is how powerful the chanting are. That is how powerful the chanting works. That is one of the amazing powers of the chanting. Still, a modern man will ask himself, can you please try to make it a little bit more intellectually understandable how it is that the chanting of the holy name has such amazing potencies? How can you say that a name like Hare Krishna or Govinda Gopal or Radharaman, that it has so much potency to really create a different version, a better version of myself? Give me an analogy. Now, Srila Vyasadeva has spoken about it, but I will give you the perspective of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. After all, when he left India and went to America to start the movement of chanting the holy names in the West, he did not have any material help with him. He had practically no money. 70 rupees he carried, which were not changed into dollars. Who would take rupees in America at that time? He had only one contact whom he had never seen. He had no helpers. He said all what he took with him were just two things: three volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which he had translated, and the holy name. These were his only possessions, if you so want. And he went to New York, he sat under a tree there, and he started to chant. And he said, from chanting the holy name, a huge international movement has sprung up, with temples everywhere, with farm communities, with various institutes, one of them a scientific institute, and many, many international activities. Only, he said, from chanting, because the chanting, the holy name, has so much potency. Now, what exactly is this potency and how does it come into the holy name? The question, the subject of our lecture is the amazing power of the holy name. Listen very carefully. The power of the holy name has its foundation, or the reason why the holy name is so powerful, is that the Lord has invested his own presence into the holy name. Krishna is in the holy name, and in fact, Krishna is the holy name. To make us understand, Prabhupada gave the example of iron. When cold iron is placed into the fire and kept there, the iron takes on the qualities of the fire by association. In other words, the iron becomes red, hot and glowing, and carries fire. It is fireized. It is in some ways fire. Take such a glowing red hot piece of iron and place it into a heap of straw, and you will see the straw will become incinerated and burst into flames, because it's no longer cold iron. It is now fireized iron. It is, if you so want, fire iron. So, in the same way, Krishna has come into his holy name, and therefore to chant the holy name means to associate with God. When you chant, and you have to learn to chant in a particular way, and I will talk a little later about it, but if you chant properly, you are actually associating with Krishna. Krishna actually becomes present in your heart. And wherever Krishna is present, his material energy of forgetfulness and covering his maya goes away and gives the space entirely to Krishna. It's almost as if light comes into darkness. At such times, when we bring a torch into a dark cave, for instance, the darkness cannot stay any longer. Even though the cave may be 1,000,000 years in darkness, just bring one fire and the darkness will go. It can be old darkness or new darkness, it doesn't matter at all. Upon the arrival of the fire or light, the darkness cannot stand. Both of them cannot be there. And the fire is victorious over the darkness. So in the same way, if you bring Krishna's holy name into your consciousness and into your heart, all the conditionings which you experience, all the obstacles which you experience, all the miseries which you experience, all the ignorance that you experience, etc., departs. It dissolves, it moves away very, very quickly. This is a huge claim. And if we, just like when you have science, in the field of science, when some professor comes and brings a new theory that and claims to give, that this supersedes the old theories, you will have to require of him that he gives some proofs also he quotes previous authorities and what they have found, so that his theory gives sense. When we enter the spiritual field, the spiritual science, we also need to prove our statements by previous authorities, which are the rishis and the shastras, the scriptures. And the claim that in this holy name there are God's powerful energies and God himself is there needs to be confirmed by Shastra. So I have I guess because we come from Germany, we have looked in the Shastras and found a very nice quotation which is again quoted in many scriptures like the Hari Bhakti Vilas, where this transferal of Shakti has been explained. It explains to us why the holy name has this inherent potency and from where it got this potency. An inherent potency, as you know, in Sanskrit is called Vastu Shakti. Vastu means an object and Shakti means the strength of an object. For instance, fire as an object has the strength to burn and to give light. It's the Vastu Shakti of fire is to burn and to give light. So the Vastu Shakti, the inherent Shakti of the Holy Name, is described in the statement of the Skanda Purana. Danavrata tapastyata yatradinam chayastita Shaktayo devamatam sava papa rashuba rajasusya vamedanam yanasyatyatma vastuna akrishya harina sarva stapita sveshu namasu. It says auspicious activities like charity, fasting, austerities, pilgrimage, and so on are filled with potencies invested in them by the gods and saints and are thus capable of destroying all previous sins. Now, to give charity, after you have given charity, you feel different because there is a potency in giving charity. When you have done fasting, not only does your belly go back and you are not so fat any longer from the sedentary lifestyle. Now, when you do fasting, there is something happening to you. Austerities and pilgrimage and so on have also their respective potencies, which are brought in them to them by the gods and the saints. Now, the Supreme Lord has gathered all these potencies, as well as those which can be found in the sacrificial performances like yajñas. He has gathered all these potencies and also has taken this spiritual element found in the culture of knowledge, and he has placed all this into his holy names. Therefore, the holy names have Vastu Shakti. They have an inherent potency. And you can see, when you study the devotees of Krishna who chant the holy name, they bear some of this Shakti. They are carriers of the torchlight of the holy name. And therefore, it is possible for them to do these amazing things, like spreading a purely spiritual movement in an unwilling civilization, which is not interested, let us say, explicitly in spiritual knowledge. But they can carry, because they carry the potency, they can induce so many projects. And I think if you study the movement of Krishna consciousness, it is a proof of the amazing power of the holy name, which Prabhupada brought to the West as, he says, his only possession. That and the Bhagavatam, only possession. But this powerful seed is grown into a banyan tree. Good. I want to now come towards the end. If you have any questions, you might look at the questions or might write them down. I want to now say how to chant the holy names. I want to just make a little experiment here with you. We will chant one holy name, that is the sacred name of Ram. I think in Kanpur we have some vicinity to places which Ram visited. We will just chant three times the holy name. I request all of you to sit straight now. This is experiential. You might want to roll your shoulders a little bit back to open your chest and take a few very deep breaths. Try to lengthen your exhale. That will help you to breathe in deeper. I will now chant the sacred name of Ram alone. One time alone, and then we will chant it together three times. Deep inhale. Now, stay for a moment with the experience of chanting Ram. Let it soak in a little. And when you're ready, we will continue. I have seen many chanters most of them report extraordinary experiences. But some of them also report that when they chant, their mind seems to wander here and there aimlessly. Distraction is the last attempt of the mind to remain materially absorbed. Inattention is therefore the greatest obstacle as we chant the holy name. Full absorption of the body, the mind, and also the heart is the goal and must be the goal of every sincere chanter of the holy name. Full absorption. How can we attain full absorption? Full absorption is possible when there is no laziness in the chanting, no distraction, and no indifference to the practice. To attain fixedness and get rid of all laziness, we have to learn to chant with our body. What does this mean? We sit straight, we are pronouncing the mantra carefully and exactly, and then we listen very attentively. We engage our body in sitting straight, pronouncing properly, and listening attentively. That will help us to go deeper to the next level, that is, to our mind, which tends to wander and become distracted. To overcome this tendency of the mind, this absent-minded, we will use a specific ability of the mind, that is to focus and to concentrate on the sound. Let me give you a little experience of this. Try to bring your mind to the sound which I will produce in a second. Just let it remain in the sound. I will do it one more time because some of you were maybe challenged by the doing something so easy as to focus on the sound. Please do it again. There for a long time I still hear it. And the last time. What do you do when you focus the mind? You are absolutely present. You're not thinking of things that happened in the past, nor are you thinking of the things which you will have to do in the future. You're absolutely with the present moment. That is what you can do when you chant, when the mind wanders. And finally, the heart. The heart has to call out in prayer, "Oh, my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. Please accept me. For so many long years, I have been completely forgetful of you. Oh, my Lord, for so many long years, I have separated myself from you. Today, where I am chanting, please accept me as your sincere servant." So, I think you get the idea. Body, mind and heart can be brought to the practice of the chanting, and then we can come to full absorption. Now, to end this session, before we go to the question and answers, I would like to chant with you. I'm here with my assistant Gaur Krishna. Please come, Gaur Krishna, that they see you. This is Gaur Krishna. He will play the harmonium for us, and we will now sing together. And is this a good idea, Leela Purushottam? 5 minutes chanting? Good, good. Other thing I want to say, I saw in the comment sections questions coming up. I suggest that Leela Purushottam, you or your assistant can collect them. And after the kirtan, read these questions to me, and then I will answer them. Good. So, let us start. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yes. The way we will chant is, I will chant one time the mantra, and then I request you to sing together with me. Maybe a little lower, no? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear everyone, I request you to sit tall, and when you sing, to pronounce and to listen very attentively. Further, please, when you find that the mind wanders here and there, bring it back to the sound of the holy name, and finally chant with some devotion, some calling out to Krishna, some statement like, I have been so absent, please my Lord, hear me and accept me. Okay, let us sing all together again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. I thank you all very, very much. As much as it is possible on online, we have tried to explain the amazing potencies of the holy name. And now it is time for us to go to your questions. Do you have the questions, Leela Purushottama?
Lot of questions, Maharaj, lot of questions. Let us thank Maharaj, His Holiness, Satyananda Maharaj, Ki Jai. And long live Maharaj, many years, such that we hear this such nectarine holy name from your lotus mouth. it's filling our heart. And so I will take some questions, and Maharaj, you will answer. Silpi is asking the question that when one is not physically fit, what did you do when you disturbed me? Can you? Okay, go there. Okay. I want to ask, when you are not physically well, you have lots of responsibility, little things irritate you, you are not able to focus on chanting, then what you should do? The Maharaj her question is that small things irritates us, and then how we can focus on chanting.
When you have a very important meeting with someone, you usually ask them, can we please meet in an undisturbed room and discuss there? And as you enter that room for your important meeting to take place, you now let all the other things which are there in your life, your various tasks, outside of the door. You enter the room, you close the door behind you, and you're now with that most important person, and you just give him the time and the attention which you need to give. And as you are willing to do so, as you start your conversation, you might still think, oh no, this has not been done, this has not been done, I have not answered to this person, oh, this disturbing conversation is looming in my mind. But as you are there in the room and entering this other conversation with this very important meeting, you will find out that soon all these irritating things which are in your mind, which you had before you entered this room, will leave you. The same holds true when you chant. You should make yourself consciously aware now. This is my most important time. Best is you reserve a very separate place for the chanting. That means a little altar space in your home. You enter that altar space, and yes, in the beginning you will still have these disturbing thoughts in your mind, but as you are engaging in this most important communication with God, you will see how the little small things will first lose importance and then disappear from your mind. The reason why some of us are carrying these disturbances into our chanting is because we do not go into the room, the separate room, and we don't close the door to our worldly life behind us, and we do not focus on the meeting which is there. So I suggest to you the following. If you have a pen and paper, it's good. Write down, find a disturbance-free time and a disturbance-free space. Then sit down to chant. Open your chanting with a prayer. You can do this prayer from Shikshastakam. Verse 5 is very nice. Ayi tanuya kinkara. My dear Lord, I have fallen into this ocean of repeated birth and death. Now kindly lift me up and take me to your lotus feet again. If you pray like this, you put your intention very clear now. You have the intention, and then you enter the chanting. In the beginning, you will be still distracted. But as you are able to focus more and more and more on the Holy Name, the distraction will go. 100%. You must try it. Find a disturbance-free room, a disturbance-free time, and then sit down straight. If you are ill, you can sit on a comfortable chair with legs up. If that is the best position for you, to be undisturbed, and then focus your mind on the sound vibration and chant in a prayerful mood. Ayi Nanda Tanuya. I think our professor Lila Purushottama can supply this text to you, or the reference to this text, and then it will help you very much. Thank you.
So, next question. Praveen Tiwari, my question is that even though many are doing chanting from many years, why I fall down or still involved in sinful activities? Is this chanting alone itself able to purify the heart and cleanses all that? So, Maharaj, basically his question is that even after chanting, why one indulges in sinful activity?
You must know, when you are chanting, you are creating something new in your life. But the old is still there. Let us explain it through neuroscience. When you're chanting, you're creating a new habit, a new activity, a new concentration, a new focus. But the old neural pathways are still there, and they are pulling you in the old direction. So as you chant, two things are going on: something new, something spiritual, but also the old thing is still there. Now, what you must do in order to finish the old habits is you must create a very new habit of good chanting. You must give that more prominence. As I want to give you an example, because otherwise you will think my answer is vague. Your old habits are like old riverbeds. You know what a riverbed is? How do you say? It is engraved in the surface of the earth, and your mind, like a river, flows in this river bed. They are called samskaras in our philosophy. The same, a similar idea as the neural pathways. So if you want to create a new flow of the river, you must dig a new riverbed and take the earth from that new riverbed and throw it in the old riverbed, so that the water will be forced to go the new way. I think some of us have not yet done this. First of all, their spiritual practice has not become deep enough. Therefore, I always emphasize this word of absorption. No? Absorption of body, mind, and heart. And then they have not stopped the old sanskaras by filling them them up. But don't worry, if you keep the chanting very strong and you avoid one thing, that is to offend genuine devotees of the Lord, then the chanting will win the upper hand. Even if you are not yet strong enough to close the old sanskaras of sinful habits and sinful addictions, if you continue just digging your new riverbed, your new path, and you give attention to this and learn to chant properly, at that time the old sanskaras will be filled up and will not be strong enough to divert you from the chanting. This is a science, my dear devotees. It's really serious. It means to create new sanskaras, or to express it in modern terms, to create a new brain that is not going compulsively in the old ways. And to learn the science, I can only recommend you to read a book called The Living Name. It is a guide to chanting with absorption, where you will find a step-by-step program that helps you really to become a new person. But for now, for this discussion, is chanting will create a new riverbed, especially if you chant together with devotees in kirtan, and then pray to Krishna to help you to give up your previous sinful habits, and then you will find out that you lose your taste for them in a natural way and increase the taste for the chanting. So please don't become hopeless. You need to do a little bit more digging here, a little bit more good work. As I'm talking, giving these answers, I'm trying to be concise as possible, but please, some of you, it is sometimes good to take a few notes, because I'm going very fast since there are several questions still there. Yes, let us go to the next question, please.
We are asked to chant in association with the devotees, but I find that while chanting together, I am not able to concentrate on mantra because of the sound coming from other chanters. So what should I do?
Very good question. When you are in your home and you have some chanting going on, you can lower the volume. That is very easy, but you can't lower the volume on other human beings so easily. That is not possible, nor is it very polite to do so. I have also a very sensitive mind, I must say, and when there's someone who chants just very, very loud in a very big volume, very big sound, then I often go and say, again, you maybe lower your volume, maybe you can chant loud inside, but soft outside. You can intensify your emotion. But ultimately, the reason why we become so easily disturbed by other sounds and sounds of other chanters is because we are not yet absorbed fully. Have you ever been in a situation where you write a very important letter Well, nowadays people do that on the computer. You type, and someone says, "Oh, Radha," and asked a question, and you don't hear it because you're so much absorbed in your letter writing that it is not possible for you to perceive any other things. So, yes, we can work on lowering the volume of the sound outside, either by talking politely with someone or finding a more peaceful corner. Now is pandemic, so you will not chant so much with large groups in a room. So you can lower the volume on your device, but when you're together, you can say, tell them, please, a little softer. But ultimately, you cannot avoid the very important point to chant with absorption. There is a poem in the Padyavali which says, "O Lord, when will your name, chanting your name, become as important to me as reading a letter from a beloved person, which I read again and again? When will your name become so sweet to me as the lips of a materialistic ladies are sweet for the materialistic men? My Lord, when will your chanting the holy name become as delicious to my tongue as a wonderful meal for a hungry person?" This is what we have to pray for. I have seen when you try to concentrate, although the volume may be loud around you, after some time the volume, the outside volume decreases, and your inside volume, your intensity increases. So that I have found out. But as I said, if you are very sensitive, I can understand that you, this from your question, then please do not be shy. Go to a place where there is not such a loud volume, but try to absorb there. Yeah, yeah. This I think we have justifiably dealt, you know, with a distraction. This is a great problem, not only for you; it's for everyone. There was once a god brother of mine who expressed the same question to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada advised this devotee to go to a secluded room and chant very, very loud, and that would change the problem. And this devotee went to an open field where he would not disturb anyone, and chanted really, really loud. And Prabhupada heard about this and said, "Yes, this is good for you, but it's not that everyone needs to find a field now." unable to focus on the chanting of the holy name, I have another recipe for you. This will work 100% for you. Please listen very carefully. What you could do is you could hear more kirtan and sing along with the kirtan. You can take recorded kirtans which are readily available on the internet nowadays. We just had a kirtan event online where we had 120,000 people who engaged with the subject. So that was called Radha Desh Mellows. They're very good kirtans. You can download from there. And in Radha Desh, like Radha, and then Desh, and then new word, Mellows. That can, and you can sing along in your house. And by singing along and singing loud kirtan, what you will find out is that new sanskaras are dug. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, sankirtan is very much recommended. That is, singing together with many, because it is easier to get these new impressions for the you remember, for the river of your mind to go. So please find good kirtans, maybe CDs, and sing along with them loudly. Don't be afraid. Tell your neighbors, I need to do a special therapy here. I will be a little loud for an hour. And then you will create a new habit in you of concentrated chanting. Isn't it true? Every question more or less is about focusing the mind, concentrating the mind, because we live in Kali Yuga, where the mind is so distracted, it is so less focused. This is a serious problem. Because if you can't fill your mind with Krishna, with the holy names, it will be filled with material things that will again and again bring you into the world of anxiety and misery.
Another question from Tio Sagal. He says, what does it feel to have a taste of holy name in terms of experience with thee? Can you please share?
To have a taste in the holy name means you will not want to stop. When you have a taste in a meal, you will eat, and after some time you will say, oh, I have eaten enough aloo sabji now, or aloo paratha, I cannot finish. But when you have a taste in the holy name, you will want to chant more and more and more. And to get this taste, I recommend you to have association with those who have the taste. Once Srila Prabhupada asked us, how do you become a drunkard? We all went, what? We don't want to become drunkards. Some of us might have been taking some intoxicating before. So when Prabhupada asked, how do you become a drunkard? We felt like, oh no. So Srila Prabhupada then answered his question, associate with other drunkards. Then you become a drunkard. So in the same way, how do we get taste in the holy name? You have to be more in contact with those who have a taste. That means read Srila Prabhupada's books regularly. Listen to lectures that inspire you in your life. And in this way, have an association through the ear, through hearing, with those who have taste. But the easiest definition of taste is you do not want to stop. I will tell you something which I found out with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, most of you know, but he is the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, my spiritual master. And he came once to visit us in Germany. At that time we had a big castle, the Schloss Rittershof, we called it, the castle of the knights. nights, you know, fighting with swords. So we had reserved a nice apartment for him in that castle, which was all his. So that was in 1974, I believe, when he visited us. I was still a young, somewhat young devotee, and I wanted to find out, what does Prabhupada do when he sleeps? Does he sleep like all of us, you know, just lying and then forgetting everything, or how does he sleep? So I remember I somehow made my way to the balcony, which was just before his sleeping room, and when I knew he would take his noon nap, short rest after his noon prasadam, I went on the balcony and I looked through the window which led directly into his sleeping room. And do you know what I saw? I saw him lying on his left side, and his face was towards the window, and his lips moved. He was saying something. So I was very inquisitive, and I just, the window was, it was leaning on. I opened the window a little bit more, it was possible to hear what he was saying. And I think you all can guess what he was saying. He was chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Even in his sleep, his eyes were closed like this. He was resting. That means taste. And you know, that taste is possible when the heart is purified. Why do we have so much difficulty in controlling the mind? Why do we have so much lack of taste in our heart? It is because of the same problem. Our heart is not yet fully purified. There are some inappropriate attachments to the material world there, and therefore we are not yet happy because of an impure heart, and we are not yet fully absorbed. But it will go, it will go. Don't worry, don't become mental. It will go. Prabhupada was once asked, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? And he said, it can happen in 1 second if you take the process very seriously. But then he said, but for others it will take, after some time it will come. He said, after 50 years, it's bound to come. I'm now, this year, I'm celebrating my 50th birthday. I'm already close to 70 years old, but I'm still celebrating my 50th birthday because this year marks the 50th anniversary of my serving Srila Prabhupada. This is a very good year for me. I'm 50 years old, although my body is already almost 70 years old. Good. So let us see. Our time, I think, is almost up, isn't it, Lila Purushottam?
Yeah. Maharaj, I would like to introduce you some of the devotees. Let me tell you, in this we have the devotees from IIT Patna.